this has all just been a big misunderstanding. Ever been in one of those? Ever had a massive misunderstanding where you thought you knew what was going on? It turned out you were wrong. We're going to talk about misunderstandings and just not really expecting what happens right here, right now. Stay tuned for the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking about misunderstandings. We're continuing our countdown to Christmas, if you're listening to this on our weekly schedule. And we're looking at events surrounding the Christmas season. And last week, we talked about wish list, and we talked about the promise of a Messiah, promise of a victory, the gift that was promised way back in Genesis. And so now we're going to continue to look ahead at that promise and look at the complications and the misunderstanding that began to arise over that promise. We saw that last week. God had promised that he would send the seed of the woman back in Genesis. And this seed of the woman would crush the power of Satan. It would crush the power of the serpent. Now, as we move forward in time, Adam and Eve, and you have Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then Moses, and on, and the history of the Jewish people are founded and then grow, and the relationship between God and the Hebrews develops and then gets complicated. And yet repeatedly, the promise kept coming up, the promise of what became known as the Messiah, the promised one who would come and would deliver his people, would break this curse. And of course, this continued, as it obviously would, to capture their imagination, to capture the idea of, at some point, God is going to send this hero, and he is going to deliver us. He's going to deliver us from all our problems. And then as various problems arose, obviously, these are the problems that God is going to deliver us from. But of course, it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time for that promised one yet. But nobody was sure when he was coming, so they kept watching for him. And then as Israel struggled, and as they had sinned, and they had turned their back repeatedly on their God, he sends them into exile. But as he sends them into exile, he sends more prophets to promise the deliverer. And to promise that these exiles, these times of being conquered, will come to an end, and he will have his ultimate victory. And especially in the book of Isaiah, he sends more promises about the coming of his champion, the coming of the Messiah. But this is where it begins to really, really get, if not complicated, a bit mixed up. Because imagine when you are traveling into the mountains and you look ahead and you see a mountain range in front of you. You will see the mountains and they're kind of all stacked up. You know, you look and you see there's a mountain and there's a peak behind it and a peak behind it. And you see the peaks, but you don't see the valleys in between, and oftentimes the mountains look close together. I remember growing up, there's a mountain up near our camp, and as you come on the hill, above our camp, driving down towards our camp, you can see this mountain sitting, looks like, on the other side of the lake. And I remember looking one time at the map of the lake and trying to find that mountain. And I finally asked my parents, well, where's the mountain? Because, you know, it should be right about here, you know, just on the other side of the lake. And they said, oh, no, it's not even on the map. It's way up there. And I was, is that far away? Yeah, but it's so big, it looks close. And a couple of mountains may look close together, and you don't see the valley in between. Don't see there's a long space in between. And, of course, what everybody missed, what they didn't understand, is that as the prophets were talking about the coming of the Messiah, that he was actually going to come twice. And they misunderstood that. It wasn't obvious that there's going to be more than one coming of the Messiah. And so then the prophets began to say, and here's what's going to happen when he comes. And they would describe the coming of the Messiah, but they actually described two. But again, it wasn't even clear that there was two, unless you look. But from a distance, it was hard to tell them apart. But on one hand, they described one who would come, and it said he would have no stately form, he would have no majesty, that we would be drawn to him. It described one that would be born of a virgin, that would be a servant, and one that would suffer, and one that would take upon himself the iniquities, the sins, and all the punishment of his people. And it said that he would be bruised and that he would be hurt. And then it also talked about that he would come in splendor, he would come in majesty, and he would initiate God's reign. And he would cause all his enemies to be put down, and all his enemies would go under his feet, and he would achieve the ultimate victory. And so it talked about both of these things, which were actually two different visits, two different comings. But they didn't understand that. And so even as the prophets talked about what was to come, the misunderstanding grew. And so God continues over the years and over the generations to promise that one is going to come who is going to deliver his people. But the people are looking for political freedom. They're looking for geopolitical deliverance. And so they skip over and pay little or no attention to the lines that talk about the one coming who would be a servant, who would not have the stately form and majesty, who would be the suffering servant. And instead, they only pay attention to the victory and the warrior and the coming in power, because that's what we need. That's what God is going to send us. And of course, we know where that's going to go. Because he's going to come. And it was even predicted he will come from Bethlehem. And yet when he did come from Bethlehem, they went, well, that's not him. And he came among them, and he was a servant. And he still was a teacher. And he was, in fact, such a teacher that he confounded everyone. But he came from Bethlehem and from Nazareth. I even asked, could anything good come from there? Certainly not this guy. And so many of the signs that were obvious weren't that obvious because, well, no, that's not what we're expecting. And so they miss him. And it's a massive misunderstanding of what the plan is. Because they're just thinking of, he's going to come and deliver us politically, and yet Jesus said, no, I've actually come on a much bigger plan, a much greater deliverance, I'm going to deliver you spiritually. And they missed it. And there's one time in particular where you see the misunderstanding in a very big way, when Jesus is teaching and they bring him someone crippled who can't walk. And he looks at the guy and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And a lot of the people around him kind of scoff. They're like, "What? Your sins are forgiven? Well, what's that? What's he saying? Who does he think he is?" And Jesus, knowing what they're thinking, maybe even overhearing them, he says, "Well, listen, which is harder? To tell someone their sins are forgiven, or to tell a crippled person to walk?" And of course, the audience is thinking, "Well, anybody could say your sins are forgiven, but who could make someone walk?" But Jesus is actually meaning, listen, the big issue isn't somebody's ability or inability to walk. The real big issue is, how do you remove a sin? I mean, how do you deal with the rebellion and sin against God? And that's what he'd come to do. And so he's saying, you know, the important thing here is the sin. But everyone around him is like, "Well, the important thing is it can't walk." And Jesus says, "Well, listen, I'm going to tell you, the sin's more important. But to demonstrate that I can forgive the sin, dude, get up and walk." And the guy gets up and walks. And everyone's like, "Whoa, that was impressive." But again, the real issue, again, that they misunderstood. They were so focused on, well, the important thing is the walking. And Jesus is like, "No, the important thing is the sin. That's what I came to deal with." And of course, they felt like the important thing was, "Well, when do you come in victory to deliver us in power?" And he said, "Well, I did come in power, but that power is going to look different than what you expect. I'm going to die." And the misunderstanding was so profound that his own disciples, his own followers, who he kept telling them, "Listen, I'm going to have to go die." And even as he told them repeatedly, "I need to go die, I'm going to die," they didn't believe him. They filtered it out. And so when he was arrested, they fled. And when he died, they gave up. They went back to their jobs, went back to fishing. It's over. It failed. We thought he was the one. We thought he was Messiah, but he died. And even with him there to explain it, they misunderstood. And that goes even today. Many of us, we misunderstand. Some people think that if I come to God, he's going to fix everything. And some people leave because he doesn't. Or they say, "I'm not coming to God. Look at the problems in the world. Look at, if God is so good, why is the world so bad?" And it's like, well, you misunderstand. You misunderstand what he said. And if you think coming to God is going to fix everything, you're misunderstanding again. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." And he said, "The world will hate you. They hated me." And yet so often we still misunderstand what God's plan is and what God is coming back. And there will be final victory. But in the meantime, understand today what God is doing with you.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook.
Today's music by Kevin MacLeod, Incompetech Organic Meditation.
Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.